your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 225 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week to preview the Japanese Grand Prix, despite the fact we're previewing it after FP1 has begun, because we've both been busy with quite a few random things. So we even get to talk about what's happened so far in free practice, which luckily this week a few interesting bits have gone down. First and foremost though, Jamie, how are we doing, sir?
I'm good. Excited for Formula One to be back. Yeah, even though it's been 2 weeks, it feels like it's been ages since the Chinese Grand Prix. But here we are, back in Suzuka, one of the best driver tracks of the year, but it never particularly brings an amazing race. But hopefully things might change. And we've already got FP1 and FP2 to look at, and plenty of topics that we managed to miss by recording so early after the Chinese Grand Prix. We missed final classification for that race to start with, and also a bunch of news since then as well.
Yeah, it was a bit of a disaster for us. Normally, our kind of lack of speediness is what screws us over. This time around, we tried to be speedy. We really tried to make, you know, a good push this year to be quicker getting the podcast out, and it absolutely screwed us, which was a little bit of a shame. Of course, let's talk about that then. First of all, Shanghai. Three disqualifications after the race, which seems to happen semi-regularly in sprints, doesn't it? I'm thinking about it was Kota last year, wasn't it? We had three DSQs as well. And both times it's been Leclerc and Hamilton.
Yeah, although they weren't teammates last time, which was slightly easier for Ferrari to stomach. But yeah, Leclerc and Hamilton, who didn't have a particularly great weekend anyway. Obviously, Hamilton's sprint part of the weekend was amazing. But in terms of normal qualifying and the Grand Prix, they were underwhelmed, to say the least, by their own pace and the speed of the car. And then they just got absolutely done in by their own team being overambitious with a few things. So it was really, really disastrous for Ferrari, because even those, was it 22 points? Were they fourth and fifth? Fifth and sixth?
Fifth and sixth in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, so 18 points that have just gone down the pan. And considering they were, what, 5 points off a Constructors' Championship last year, that could really pay off, well, badly, not for them, could pay off for McLaren at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the first time ever that both Ferraris have been DSQ'd. It wasn't even for the same thing either. Leclerc, alongside Pierre Gasly, both their cars were underweight, and Hamilton's was plankware, so plankware seems to be one that catches people out quite regularly in the sprint weekends, doesn't it? Especially when you go to a Shanghai or a Kota that hasn't been resurfaced in a long time, because obviously those circuits are quite bumpy, and it does feel like staggeringly, obviously because everybody's trying to run the car as low as they can, that the teams do seem to keep miscalculating it, or Hamilton's team, whoever he's with, seems to keep miscalculating it. But for both Gasly and Leclerc, obviously, a lot of people are going, oh, it must have been Leclerc's wing that made him underweight. No, the team are allowed to replace that before the car gets weighed. It was just a miscalculation, which Alpine managed to do with Pierre Gasly as well. Which, fun fact, means that Alpine so far are the only team this year that failed to score after the first two Grand Prix, despite never really having anywhere near the slowest car.
No, they've actually been pretty solid in terms of pace, but yeah, yet to score a point. Toro Rosso, or whatever they're called now, they've also failed to score points in a main race. But
they scored in Australia, didn't they?
Nope. Tsunoda got a couple in the sprint race in China. That's it so far.
Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, not great for them. But the results were affected a little bit. Ocon moved up to fifth after we wrote Haas off entirely in Australia. he's now got 10 points. Behrmann also moved up to eighth from 10th, wasn't it?
Really good drive from him.
Yeah, properly good stuff from Haas. Lance Stroll continued his domination of the midfield with a ninth place, moving up from 12th, which was quite amusing. And that leaves him ahead of both Ferraris in the World Championship. So well done, Lance Stroll.
Yeah, he's absolutely smashing it so far this year. You know, fair play to him. And say, I'm hoping that by the end of this weekend, Fernando Alonso might actually be classified in the World Championship. Yeah. But I'm not holding out hope. I mean, yeah, it was just a really, really stupid error, wasn't it? From Ferrari. Like I said, first time ever both of their cars have been disqualified from a race, which is absolutely mad. And, you know, like we said, although, yes, it's a very long season, you know, 24 races, there is time to recover. Nothing so far apart from that sprint, which even then was good, but felt more like it was Hamilton and Verstappen being the two best drivers on the grid, getting the job done in qualifying on a circuit that just proved to be very difficult to overtake. As sadly now a Ferrari fan, none of it has been particularly confident inspiring by Ferrari so far, is it?
No, and I'm glad I get to watch as a bystander, to be honest, because it seems a bit of a nightmare to be supporting a driver racing for Ferrari this season. But this is always what they do, you know. They'll mess up their strategies, they'll mess up their operations, but it's still Ferrari. They're going to have ups and downs. And if there's one thing we have seen over the last, well, getting over 10 years now, isn't it? They always do bounce back. So, the questions being posed to Hamilton and Leclerc, though, obviously they have to say they back their team to bounce back, but you can tell there's a little bit of discontent among both drivers that this sort of disqualification problems are allowed to happen.
Yeah, and it is one of those things, isn't it, of when it happens so early on in the year and you feel like you're on the back foot, you know, the team will start talking about shifting more focus to next year and everything else. You know, and it might well be, of course, still with how close the overall performance is, it might just be Ferrari need to figure out one thing with a setup or one upgrade on the car that might be coming for Europe. Or, you know, as we do keep theorising, and I can't wait for us to keep saying this and then it makes no difference whatsoever, obviously when that new wing directive comes in for Spain, obviously, are we going to see a bit of a shift in terms of performance as well?
We never know. And to be honest,
well, we will when we get there.
We will, exactly. This time last year, Red Bull, well, certainly Verstappen, was further ahead of the pack than McLaren and Norris are this year. So,
oh yeah,
I've not written off the season at all, because one, like, development race can be really important. And to be honest, a lot of the teams, like, it'll be a real mixed bag of who's actually developing for this year and who's just writing it off for next year. So I don't know, say Ferrari or Red Bull put a few more eggs in this year's basket, it really could win them a world championship if McLaren are the team to kind of focus on to next year.
Yeah, it is going to be really, really interesting. Of course, the big news, though, hasn't it, that has absolutely dominated the headlines between Shanghai and Suzuka is, of course, obviously that Yuki Tsunoda and Liam Lawson swap. I think it's going to be kind of the meat and bones of the podcast this week. We kind of spoke about it briefly beforehand. It's so stupid, isn't it, the fact they've already made this swap? But now hindsight is a beautiful thing, and, well, at least in free practice 1 and 2, Tsunoda's look good in that Red Bull. So I guess we've got that added bit of context as well as we go through this podcast. But how can Red Bull keep doing this?
It's complete mismanagement of the junior program, isn't it? It's, yeah, it's just unfair on pretty much all parties, you would argue. Like, yes, I think they were quick to promote Lawson, and they maybe did it out of a stubbornness that they didn't want to promote Tsunoda for whatever reason. They thought he was hard to work with or whatever.
But do you know what that was? It's finally come out this week, what that's about.
What is it about?
You are going to love this. You're going to genuinely... So the reason Helmut Marko has never wanted to promote Yuki Tsunoda, Jamie, was the 2022 British Grand Prix. Can you connect the dots?
That was 2022. That was through goes Hamilton, wasn't it?
So it was through goes Hamilton.
Was Tsunoda not out really early in that?
Nope.
What did he do?
So Tsunoda and Pierre Gasly. Well, it was Tsunoda's fault, to be fair. And Pierre Gasly. Remember, they had a crash going into the loop. about halfway through the race and picked up damage, and Verstappen ran over that damage and obviously cost him what was probably going to be an easy win. Helmut Marko has never forgiven Yuki for that, is the story going around.
That's ridiculous.
I know. A 2.5 year, nearly 3 year vendetta.
You'd have thought by his age he'd be losing his memory. I'm surprised.
Exactly.
I'm
surprised you what you had for breakfast this morning.
That is insane.
See, no one Helmut Marko, he probably thinks it's like some World War II confusion. There's that theory as well in my head.
Yeah, that is mental. But yeah, regardless, it was stubbornness. It was a bad decision. Subjectively a bad decision.
The one where it's fact. They
knew that it wasn't going to work promoting Lawson, but they did it because they didn't want to promote Tsunoda, which is unfair on Tsunoda. It's also really unfair on Lawson, because you're throwing him into like a pit of sharks and he can't swim. Realistically, is that like he's done 6 races in F1, he hasn't actually 11. Outqualified Tsunoda. Sorry, 6 races last season, 5 races the year before with even less preparation. And yeah, it was never going to be easy for him. But what I didn't like about how quickly they were to swing the axe is he's never raced at Melbourne before, and he's never raced at Shanghai before.
No,
and also he had 1.5 days of testing. And the one full day, he had reliability problems.
Yeah.
And in Melbourne, he had reliability problems in practice. The race was just a wet, awful mess. And they put him on a terrible strategy, like driving dry tyres on a fully wet track. Obviously, he's going to spin out. So realistically, he's had one shot at a track he's never been to in a car that's notoriously hard to drive. Yes, he qualified last twice, which is not good at all in Shanghai, and ultimately it's a results business. But I think they should have at least given him Suzuka, because he's raced here plenty of times in the V-Carb in 23, and also in Super Formula. So it's a circuit he's familiar with. I think they should have given him one more race. And if it doesn't go well at that point, you bring Tsunoda in.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because I can also understand on the other side, I don't think they would have made this switch. Like, again, the rumour going around is that Honda have paid them a lot of money to put Yuki in that. I heard 10, to be honest, but yeah, I need to say, I'm sure we'll never know the exact figure. But you can kind of understand that. But I mean, still the question from me is, of course, why wasn't Yuki put in there in the first place still? And, you know, this whole personal vendetta. I know I ranted and raged about it and was honestly a bit optimistic last year. But I genuinely believe we are watching the downfall of Red Bull now. With, obviously, Adrian Newey gone, there is more and more kind of vocality between Max and the team about he's not happy with... He was always there going, we should have brought Yuki in first. You've brought Liam in. You've not given him a fair chance. You shouldn't have even got rid of Perez in the first place. I think he now is a hot target for other teams of you. Basically, looking at Aston Martin here, aren't we? But you pay his salary. I think Mercedes. I mean, the problem there is the logical or the slightly weird one is that Russell could be gone. And I know it's a little bit difficult to compare, but I genuinely think you put Verstappen in that Mercedes alongside Russell, I genuinely don't think there'd be that much difference, because Verstappen is so good in a car that only suits him. I genuinely don't think he would be willing to go into a fight like that either, because there is the potential suddenly to have a car that doesn't suit your style as well.
Yeah, and obviously it's well known since Abu Dhabi that they do not get on, those two.
No, exactly.
So I don't.
So it would be Antonelli alongside him.
I think if Russell was to find something else to do, which he might be invited to find something else to do if Toto Wolff keeps on courting Verstappen, then I could see that. I think Verstappen is just frustrated because, yeah, he has been covering their backs for well over a year now. In terms of Perez, from Miami onwards last year, was saying this car is not good.
He was proving that by qualifying.
Qualifying 8th and lower every race for the rest of the season, but Verstappen was really wringing the neck of that thing and getting a lot out of it. So, and yeah, they spent best part of a year being like, no, it's just you, Perez. Verstappen's still driving fine. It's like, well, no, because what you've got here is a generational talent versus a fairly good midfielder.
He was a very good, he was so highly rated. Exactly. Yeah. He was so highly rated coming out of the back end of 2020, wasn't he? Perros, yeah. We were there going like, this guy, give him the right... Like, you genuinely think, if, say, he'd replaced Hamilton at Mercedes in some weird hypothetical universe going, you know, into, like, 2020, for example, like, he could have... Him and Bottas, it would have been a battle of the midfield world champions, but it would have been incredible viewing.
Stick Hulk in the Racing Point, he won the whole thing.
he lost a Stroll.
I'm not rising to that one. Right. Yeah, I think Verstappen is just getting more and more frustrated with mismanagement. And the way the car has started this season, clearly it's a long way off the benchmark. So how long is he going to give them if they can't turn it around?
It genuinely feels with Red Bull at the moment that it's like, you know, you read all these stories about, like, in our modern economic...
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the brink of crisis world we live in now, where it's like old men are destroying like companies because they just don't understand how the world works. That's genuinely what it's starting to feel like with Red Bull. And I still, you know, I've said this before, I really do think it stems back from obviously the loss of Dietrich Mateschitz, of there's so much of a power struggle within this team. You know, they've still got this looming thing with it, Christian Horner, obviously, in those investigations. You know, apparently he's got a gag order out on media in the UK as well, so no one can talk about it. You know, what is kind of hiding under the surface? They have obviously their old engineer's book that came out a few weeks ago, and obviously quite a few interesting things in there about kind of the way the team operates and things like that. Of, you know, I know I've said this before, and like I said, some of it is a little bit of kind of hopium because I'm not a Red Bull fan famously, but could they genuinely be on the brink of, like, not collapse necessarily, but a huge drop back down, especially with apparently there's still not much confidence coming out of the Red Bull powertrains department for the new regs.
Yeah, and to be, like, they could end up just being a top end midfielder like they were between like 2015 and 2019, yeah. Where, like, you know, they're
I think calling them a midfielder in that era is a bit harsh.
Well, they weren't winning championships as relentlessly as they were recently. So
one team wins championships, Jamie.
Who? Red Bull?
No, I just meant only one team wins the championship each year.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. it's true. But this, you know, dynasties come and go.
They really do.
Mercedes won 8 in a row, and then suddenly they're third fastest or fourth fastest at best. Like, well, we called it in our predictions, didn't we? I think both of us said there'd be a new world champion. Or did you say Hamilton was going to win it?
I don't think I did.
I definitely said Norris.
I think we both said Norris, to be honest.
And, like, yeah, we're kind of being proven right at the moment. But back to the swap. Yeah, I feel for Liam, but at least he's still in the sport. I think
honestly,
when his first dropped after Shanghai, there was whispers of Red Bull signing Colapinto for the V-Carb.
And
Lawson and would
be
out entirely.
Be
so
yeah.
I think it's good for him that he's got a safe place to land. That V-Carb is good. Like,
yeah.
It really isn't long off the Red Bull, to be honest. I reckon Lawson would do much better in the V-Carb than he was doing in the Red Bull. He can't do much worse, can he? But
you can qualify further off the back of the grid in last.
Yeah.
I genuinely think now, if you're another team, if I try, because the problem is as well, is it feels like there's no great examples at the moment of a team that he could slot into. But I genuinely reckon if you're another organisation, you can make a killing off of Red Bull scraps at the moment. Like, again, there's more and more talk still, isn't there? And I know we spoke about this last time, like Perez coming back with Cadillac. I genuinely think if you put Lawson in another car, he would prove, if given enough time, just how good behind the wheel he is. But it's just, which team could he go to? Like, if say, for example,
Verstappen or Lawson, sorry.
Lawson, I mean.
Okay.
Like, Not saying he's, you know, a multi-world champion in the making or anything like
yeah,
that.
No.
But he's,
but
you know,
look at Gasly and Albon, don't you? And both
exactly.
of them are prime examples.
Exactly. And I think Perez could come back as well.
Yeah, drivers who were turned away by Red Bull for not being good enough, who are both, since then, really, really risen their stock. Gasly's a race winner.
Well, Albon mainstays of the sport, aren't
yeah,
they, really?
Exactly. And Albon and Gasly, are, you know, there's not really a threat of them losing their seats because of poor performance, is there?
Oh, so, Gasly, Albon's doing better than Sainz at the moment down at Williams, yeah. which is incredible to see. That being said, though, obviously on the other side of this swap, Yuki Tsunoda, at least so far in free practice, I've got my fingers crossed because I really like the kid and I want to see him do well. Seems to
kid.
Be competitive.
He's older than me.
Yeah, I know. I always call you the kid.
True, yeah. No, I do hope he does well. Especially the pressure on him this weekend is a bit mental, isn't it? Because to be making your debut at your home race... And the Japanese fans are great, so there's going to be hundreds of thousands of them there supporting him. Yeah, I just really hope he goes well for him. I just
so
don't
do
want
I.
to see him qualify last.
So do I.
Yeah, and so far, obviously, just practice, it doesn't really matter, but he wasn't far off Verstappen.
No,
but
no.
I think both of them were behind both V-carbs in FP2, which is quite amusing. But we shall see. It's a great opportunity for him. Obviously, he's never going to turn it down. I saw... B-tier accounts on social media saying that if I was Tsunoda, I'd turn it down. It's like, no, you wouldn't.
No, you
just
wouldn't. you might,
if your
you don't understand the business.
Calling.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Shall like, we do your quiz, yeah. Jamie, for the Japanese Grand
sure.
Prix? So, I've been doing some research for a separate video this week, and by my calculations, Japan has decided the most F1 World Championships throughout its
really?
History. So, heading into the Japanese Grand Prix, or heading into a race in Japan, that's a little bit of a hint for you there. Heading into a race in Japan, the World Championship has not been decided yet mathematically. Leaving Japan, the World Championship has been decided. There are 14 examples of this happening
wow.
in Japan. You don't have a time limit for this one. You just have to
okay.
name them, but if you get one wrong, it's over. Because,
oh
obviously, you
word.
Could just go 2024, 2023, 2022, etc. Et
yeah, true.
So,
okay.
you get as much time as you like.
And then we're talking Drivers' World Championships.
Drivers' World Championships, yeah.
Okay.
So, you've just got to say, as soon as you get one wrong, it's over. But there's 14 of these.
Okay. So, Verstappen won his in 22.
Correct. Yeah. That's one.
That's one. Don't think Hamilton
think,
ever won a championship. There.
Yeah, I think what you're going to find very quickly is that you're just going to try and jump back to the ones you definitely know.
I know.
This is why I like doing these with you, Rob. If you get one wrong, it's over. Because I know
I
it really plays on your mind.
Sebastian Vettel in 2011.
Correct.
Won his championship there.
Two.
When Button won the race and Vettel was third. This is hard. I watched this on YouTube this week, so Michael Schumacher in 2003.
Correct. That's three.
Michael Schumacher in 2000.
Correct. That's four. I'll give you an extra hint as well. That is all the ones from this century.
Really? I thought I'd missed one.
Nope.
Okay, that is helpful.
That's an annoyingly good hint, actually, accidentally.
That is a really good hint. I'm sure Hakkinen won one of his... Probably, but I don't want to risk it because I'm not sure which one, slash if any. Obviously not in 97 or 96 Hill.
Correct. That's
Suzuka.
Five.
Because Murray Walker had to stop because there's a lump in his throat and that's an iconic commentary line.
Murray Walker always seen in the show is incredible. Even when he
yeah.
didn't intend to, it was just brilliant.
Yes, exactly. 95 is a potential, but I'm not going to risk it. Not 94. I have no clue about 93 with Prost. I have no clue about 92. Okay, let's do some ones that I know. 1989.
Correct. That's six.
Which way around was that?
That was Prost,
Prost
turning
it,
in on
yeah,
Senna.
Yeah, Prost in 89, wasn't it? So 1990 was Senna.
Correct. That's
Prost
seven.
At turn one. That's only seven. This is so hard. How many are 14?
14 all in all. Oh, I know, it's mad, isn't it? And I'm it is a real mixture as well.
Was the end of Rush not in Fiji? I'm from 1976.
Sorry, repeat that again for me.
The end of Rush.
Yep.
The film.
Yep.
It was somewhere in Japan, I swear.
What did you just call it, sorry?
I said Fiji, but it's Fuji. Fiji's a different country.
Fiji is a completely separate country.
Whoops. But it was.
What year was that?
I think
that?
I'm right. It was Pacific something, wasn't it? 1976.
It was the Japanese Grand Prix in 1976, but that is correct. You're up to 8.
Smashed it. All right.
In the Fiji Grand Prix.
In the Fiji Grand Prix, yeah. In the the Australian Peninsula.
6 more.
I'm
going
to have to risk one of Hakkinen's. Because I'm really not sure about any more. So I will say 1999.
Correct. That's 9.
I mean, he could have won both there, to be honest. In fact, why not? Did he win 98 there as well?
Correct. That's 10.
Oh, here we go.
4 more to go, Jamie. 183.
Right. I really, really don't know where Prost and Mansell won theirs at all. In 93, 92.
This has been a very good play by you, sir.
I will go 1992, Nigel Mansell.
Incorrect. And you should know better than that. Because Mansell locked it up at Hungary. It was the earliest ever in a season the title had been locked up at that point.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, he absolutely dominated. So, you say you did very, very well there. Of course, you got the first
one. I'm happy with that.
You got the first one that was at Fuji, 1976, which, of course, was
not
the
in Fiji.
First... Yeah, not in Fiji, which was the first Japanese Grand Prix. Obviously, 1977, the championship was decided before Fuji. And then, obviously, there was a 10-year break before Suzuka debuted in 1987. The first 5 Japanese Grand Prix at Suzuka in a row all the championships were decided every single time. 1987, Mansell binned it in qualifying and was out for the final 2 races.
Nelson Piquet, wasn't it?
So Piquet finished like 4th in the race, I think, and just then had too many points, but it was irrelevant anyway because Mansell couldn't race anymore. So the championship was actually decided on Saturday there, technically. 1988. It was the one of the 3 years between Prost and Senna that didn't end up in a crash. Senna,
wasn't it?
Senna got the jump. It was bizarre as well because the count back, it basically meant that if either driver won, they guaranteed themselves the championship.
Great.
Because Senna had more. Well, Senna had more wins, but Prost had more points. But because there was so many drop results, that it meant that Senna had too many points because of how many wins he had.
That must have been a nightmare for the permutations.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous. Senna as well, in 1991, wrapped it up with a couple of races to go, but it was Gerhard Berger that won the race ahead of, I believe it was Mansell, actually, in 91 again, because it was the resurgent Williams, but there were still another 2 races after this. And the very last one, Jamie, was actually at AIDA, which was Michael Schumacher in 1995. AIDA obviously in 94. Well, AIDA in 94 was obviously right at the start of the year. There was an earthquake at the end of 94. Actually early 1995, if I remember correctly. So the race got pushed back.
You were minus 5.
Eh?
Do you remember the AIDA earthquake of 1995?
I do remember it very well. It was a very sad time out in Japan. But yeah, it was basically... So the race got moved to like the third last race, I think, before Japan and Australia. And Schumacher absolutely dominated, wrapped the title up with 2 races to go. But 10 out of 14, mate. You smashed it.
I'm happy with that.
Like I said, I was doing some research for another video. It was something mad. Like in, I think, 9 of those 14, I think 9 or 10 of them, it was the driver starting P2 that got the lead into turn 1 and took the title because of it. Like, P2, wherever they race in Japan, seemed to be key throughout so much of its history.
He's qualifying second, then.
Exactly. World champion is whoever lines up second, but they have to take the lead on lap 1 is the key. So, very, very important there.
Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Good.
Let us know in the comments how well you did, if you were playing along.
Yes, definitely. What else we got to do, Jamie? I think we've just got predictions left, don't we?
Shall we quickly talk about Jack Doohan's massive crash in
FP2? We can talk about Jack Doohan's massive crash. Sadly, yeah, we've actually got to cover this, haven't we, now? Obviously, you know, disappointing news coming from Flavio Briatore this weekend. Jack Doohan maybe definitely has been sacked. You know, we kind of
just
spoke
in case
about
it's happened.
We kind of spoke about this pre-season, didn't we? That, you know, it might definitely didn't not happen, but it has not did. But yeah, unfortunately, obviously, Doohan out, not out, is in, within, not out of in a car. Maybe.
Yeah. Obviously, that is conjecture. He hasn't been sacked yet, but it really wouldn't surprise me if it's coming within a few weeks. I think he'll probably get the triple header that we're going into, but after that, who knows? Because to be honest, his first three races, first two races in a practice session, have not been fantastic.
He did all right.
His pace has been fine.
Yeah.
His pace has been fine, but he's made a lot of errors. And this turn one crash was massive. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It was 200 miles an hour. He had DRS open into the flat kink of turn one, and just the back end was all over the place, and it was a huge crash into the wall.
Forgot to close that DRS.
Yeah, exactly.
Genuinely, what staggers me is I had a dream last night that someone would bin it a turn one in a massive way.
Really? Yeah. I had a dream that Hülkenberg got pole.
Did you actually?
I genuinely did, and I was buzzing. But
oh, that's so alarming. Oh, man, that's incredible. That's incredible.
But in predictions, I will not be seeing it's a prophecy.
Oh, no, go on. You've got to say that now.
I will not be putting Nico Hülkenberg on.
Go on, do it. Do it. What are the scores on the doors currently?
Oh, I'm not. Have I actually been keeping score?
You have.
Oh, I have.
Well, you're meant to have been.
It's 8-3 to me. Lovely.
Yeah, you've been smashed it so far. That way I get to predict. I'm going to say Lando Norris pole, Lando Norris win, Oscar Piastri P2. And
you're
I'm
so
going to say George Russell third.
You are boring. George Russell is just third, isn't he?
He just is a perennial third place man.
I will go Oscar Piastri on pole.
Nice.
I will go Oscar Piastri win.
Nice. Is he going to take the lead of the championship?
No, because Norris will be second.
Fair enough.
And Charles Leclerc. Why not?
Nice. Interesting. Jamie thinks Ferrari are back. You have more hope than I do, sir.
They are. They are. And Holt's going to get a point. There you go.
You know what? Do you know what else I found a mad stat out this week? Red Bull,
what's
Ferrari,
this?
And McLaren all have 7 wins at Suzuka. Mercedes have 6.
Wow. George Russell for the win.
Exactly. And it's,
or Antonelli. This is his last chance to break the record, isn't it?
It is. Antonelli's last chance to be the youngest ever Grand Prix winner.
Wow. Also, we're not scoring this. Where are Lawson and Tsunoda going to finish in relation to their teammates?
Ooh, I'm going to say Tsunoda 7th. I'm going to say Lawson 12th.
Okay. I think I really, really hope. Not because I do like Tsunoda, but I also really like Liam Lawson. I hope it's something dumb like Lawson's 10th and Tsunoda's 11th.
Oh, no.
Like we
I
get
don't
to see them fight on track.
I don't want to see that. When was the last time that second Red Bull scored points with Perez at the end of last year? Was it Abu Dhabi?
Qatar?
Was it Qatar?
He didn't score in Abu Dhabi. He's out on lap one.
He's out in Abu Dhabi. He was out in Qatar. Oh, he got 10th in Vegas.
Yeah,
but he might have scored in the Qatar sprint, for all I know. And then he didn't score in Sao Paulo or Mexico. Dearie me.
Yeah, so what's that? 8 races?
4. You got
only
10th
4.
In Vegas.
Oh, wow. Does that mean that since that second Red Bull has scored a point, the first Red Bull has won a championship?
Technically, yes.
Wow.
Well, when the Red Bull last scored a point. When the second Red Bull last scored a point.
Yes. Qatar sprint, was it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, there it was Vegas. Oh, no, because Verstappen, yeah, since then, isn't it?
No,
he
did.
Verstappen, when did he wrap it up last year? It was Vegas, wasn't it? Or was it Qatar?
Oh, it was Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm thinking the year before when it was Qatar sprint.
Yeah, because that was a lot earlier.
I lose track
of
all his world championships now.
Oh, man. Wait till you're at Hamilton's level, mate.
Wait till you've got to count 7.
Yeah. I can't count to 7, Jamie. And 105 wins. It's
well,
madness.
Good if we didn't win 8 then, isn't it?
Yeah, he will do. Don't worry. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Stop worrying. You're a Ferrari fan now. You're in the hype train. We love it.
Okay.
Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? We've rambled on a little bit right at the end there.
Has anything happened? How's Charles third in practice? That'd be quite funny.
Oh yeah, Hadjar gets a podium.
The track caught fire, so the that was a bit odd.
It happens semi-regularly in Japan, doesn't it? It feels like. I feel like this happened a couple of years ago.
There was a gas fire on the side of the track, which they red flagged for.
Nice.
So, we shall see. But yeah, I think that's everything. Doing better, watch out, because Colapinto's coming.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. Get yourself subscribed. We're up to 888 subscribers on the channel. Stop giving YouTube all our ad revenue and give it to us instead so we can do more good stuff with the podcast in the future. Jamie and I will be back then at some point early next week. Again, both of our lives are all over the place at the moment. We apologise. But yeah, we'll be back obviously to review the Japanese Grand Prix. Thank you all as always so much for listening. Enjoy the F1. We love you all and goodbye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.